Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So the Lord has really over the last 2 weeks, the Lord has really been dropping this in my spirit. And sometimes when you've spoken about things in the past, you don't want to necessarily do it again, but I can't stop. God doesn't leave me. Amen. So I have to give you a word that is for you, for right now. Is that okay? Well, how can you say that? How the word applies to you guys. In season, when God has, and there's a time, when the season is right, God will give you a word for right now. Excuse me. He will give you a word for right now. It's a little thin over here this evening. It's okay. Amen. It's okay. I love my youth. But they're not all here tonight. That's okay. Maybe they went to buy some new clothes. I don't know. Amen. 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 I don't know what's going on, you know. Amen. You guys know I love you, right? Amen. Come with, you know what it is? They're all sitting in the back. Amen. That's okay. Amen. 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 All right, I'm just going to go straight to it. Is that okay, guys? Yeah. Numbers 13, verse number 1. See, I'm giving you time to get to the place in your Bible. Amen? Amen. There we go. Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. God has promises for every single one of us. What you don't understand is God will position you sometimes in a certain place. He will position you because within that position, He can fulfill your destiny. So He'll take you to a place, He will connect you to people, He will connect you in ministry, and the reason why He does that is to position you to fulfill destiny. Amen. One of the biggest tragedies in the body of Christ today is that there are very few people that are in relationship with each other. There are very few in the body of Christ, there are very few churches that are connected to one another and fellowshipping and bringing people up and raising people up and, you know, passing on generation to generation the way that it was in the beginning. And I believe with all of my heart that God is busy raising up a generation like that right now. A generation that will invest in the people, and those people will be raised up, and then they will invest in the people that are below them, the young people, the generation coming up. Is that okay? God has a desire to not let any of what He puts in a person fall down to the ground. Is that okay? But He wants it to be passed from one generation to the next generation. What that generation learned, this generation must also learn. What was in one man must be placed in another man. And if you don't believe it, go read your Bible. That's what happens. Amen. So relationships are so important in the body of Christ. And right now, God is positioning people. God is positioning people. God is positioning churches all across the nations of the world to take their place in this hour to do what He's called them to do. And one of those things, and right now I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying very, very clearly that He's positioning the church right now to take that has been promised to the church in this hour. Prophet Joel and many other prophets prophesied about this hour, about an hour where the people would take the promises of God that have been spoken over us. I remember as a young child, I would hear them prophesy about the next generation, I would hear them prophesy about the young people. And I'm now at a place where I feel in my spirit like God's about to do something with this generation. This generation. Those prophecies of old were prophesied about us, about you sitting here this evening. Those prophecies must come to pass. And as it was with Israel, as God promised them the promised land and inheritance, so it is with us right now. But the church stands at a crossroads. When I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. At a crossroads. Because the promised land is right here. I can see it. Can you see it? Can you see the promises of God? Can you see destiny? Can you see purpose? Can you see the miracles? Can you see the power of God? Can you see the deliverances? Can you see the lost get saved? Can you see it? Let's read on. So this word is for us right now. Amen. Then Moses, let's go to verse number 17. Sorry, I'm going to skip a whole lot because really all it is a genealogy of who went. And the father of this one and this cousin of that one, it's going to take too long. Amen. So Numbers 13, verse number 17, that's where we're going to move on to. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go into the mountains and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Let's stop right there. When God gives you a promise and He says that your promise, your destiny, your purpose will be like this, it's going to be awesome. If God says, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, then that's what the land is going to be like. So already in this report, in this desire to get a report, there's like, is it good? Is it bad? Is it nice? Is it not nice? Is it great? How's the food? What's it like? I don't know. Tell me about it. So already the suggestion is kind of negative, but God said, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God said, I'm going to give you an inheritance. God said to you, I'm going to give you a harvest. God said, I'm going to use you. God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. So why is it that we first need to go check it out? Amen. The new church has one more step. I don't think I'll be able to do that. To be like, I'm gonna, it's okay. Yeah, I can hear you guys saying you just need to lose a few pounds, Pastor Alex, then you'll be able to do it. Amen. I'm with you. Amen. Amen. Ketones, here we come. Amen. All right. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. Let's stop right there. Already we're starting to see how they go and they start to check out the land. Now the descendants of Anak were not just any ordinary people. Anak, the descendants of Anak were giants. They were not human. They were monsters. So while they go out, they begin to see all the challenges that are before them. And then they see the descendants of Anak who are not human. These are giants. These are like monsters. And now we have to face this. And how is it possible, God, that you finally bring us to the point where we're about to inherit our promises and now all this stuff is in front of us? So we read the descendants of Enoch and we think, oh, well, you know, that's not so bad. I can tell you right now, it was bad. Is that okay? The descendants of Enoch were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one clutter of grapes. They carried it between them, between two of them on a pole. They also bought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, of Kadesh. They brought back words to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So in other words, God told the truth. This place is amazing. It flows with milk and honey. Look at the fruit. It's not normal. It's like unbelievable. Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Are they weak or are they strong? Oh no, they're strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. In other words, the enemy is too great for us. In other words, listen, God wants to give us this land. But have you seen what we have to fight against to inherit that promise? Have you seen what the challenge is going to be like? It's going to be too great. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites. And all of a sudden, verse number 30, there's a change of attitude from one man. Watch this. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Now it's incredible. Because here are two people. Here are two groups of people. The one group have gone into this land and they've looked and they see destiny. They see purpose. They see the inheritance. They see the promises and they look at it. But all they can see are the challenges. All they can see is how hard it's going to be. All they can see is the enemy that wants to destroy them. All they can see is this. And then Caleb says, he looks and he says, "Well, when are we going? Let's go. What are you waiting for? Let's do this thing. God said, we're going to take Vero Beach. Let's do this thing. Let's take the city. Let's take the city. What are we waiting for? Who are we waiting for? If God can do it, and if God is for us, who is against us? And what does it matter?" Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." He didn't think about the men of Anak. He didn't think about the Amalekites. He didn't think about those things. You see, God doesn't tell you about all the demons you'll have to face to get to your purpose, to get to your destiny. He doesn't tell you because that's the attitude. Oh, well. Oh, no. Oh, no, not me. But it's right here. It's right here. The purposes, the plans, the destiny is right here in front of us right now. Like you have no idea, church, what's about to take place in the realm of the Spirit on this planet right now. And God is looking for the Joshua and the Calebs, those who say, "Well, God, if it's about to happen, let's do this thing. Lord, I'm not going to worry about the challenges. I'm not going to worry about the accusers. I'm not going to worry about those who say it's not possible. I'm not going to worry about those who say it can't be done. I'm not going to worry about those who say, 'But look at yourself. Look at what you used to be like. You can't do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have what it takes. Do you know who you are? Do you know this and that? And sits and breathes into your neck, down your neck all the time. Negative, negative, negative. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Duh. But who is with you? Who is with you? Who is in you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. No devil can stop you. No demon can stop you. No force can stop you. No man can stop you. No church can stop you. No one can stop you from fulfilling your destiny and your purpose. If you have the right attitude. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." You didn't believe me about the giants? Watch. "There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so were we in their sight." The reality is, the way you see yourself in Christ is the way the enemy sees you. How can I say that? Well, they were in God. They were the Israelites. They knew that God was with them. For goodness sake, there's a pillar of fire outside. They've had one miracle after one miracle after one miracle. Water flowing out of a rock that's following them around. You know this Jesus that lives inside you. You've seen the miracles that he's performed, not only in the days of old, but also in you. He's changed you. If he hasn't, get saved and change. And he'll change you. Give your life to him. Stop playing around. We are like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own. You see, your destiny is too great for you. Absolutely. But in Christ, nothing is impossible. God will not give you more than he can handle. We need to put that on the wall somewhere. Amen. God will not give you more than he can handle. Guess what? You can handle a whole lot. You can handle a whole lot because he is in you. Amen. Amen. So now we see that these people are in a bad state and God gets really angry with them. And they begin to complain. They say things like this: "If only we had died in Egypt. Now we are going to die here. Let's go back to Egypt. Hey, let's pick a new leader. This Moses is bad. Hey, the first thing that happens when it gets a little tough, let's get a new pastor. The pastor's not the problem, you are." "I'm on fire, brother. I'm going for it, brother. I'm going to do this thing, brother. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do?" So Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb tell the people, "Calm down. The Lord is with us." And they wanted to stone them because they didn't want to hear that. All they could see was the giant. All they could see were the problems. All they could see were the challenges that they would have to face. So God does not allow them to inherit the promise that he has for them. And every one of them, except for Joshua and Caleb and the little ones, all die in the wilderness. Right now, you're faced with a question and a challenge. And that is, the promise is here. Destiny is here. God is about to move on this planet. Are you going to look at all the problems? Or are you going to say, Father, I'm going to take the promises that you have me. Listen, those enemies, those things that will come against you will come against you, but you can overcome in him. Amen. You can do it. And God did not do that to Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because their attitude was right. They didn't say, hey, you know, it's not so great. This challenge is too good for us. Let's get the new pastor. They didn't say, hey, you know, I'm not going to do it. Take me back to Egypt. They didn't say, well, I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm going to sin again because, you know, this Christianity stuff is just too difficult for me. They said, let's go. Unfortunately, they had to wait a few years. But then, God decides to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And he gives a word to Joshua. And here's the word of the Lord to you this morning, this evening. Some of you, this will go right over your head. And then there'll be those of you that will take this word tonight. Because this is what God is saying to us right now. Listen to this. Joshua 1, verse number 1. Amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, now listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, only be strong and courageous. Do not let the enemy try and bring fear in your way. Do not let the enemy come and slow you down. Do not let the enemy wear you out. Do not let the enemy say, you can't do it. Do not look at the enemy and see yourself as a grasshopper, but begin to be courageous and begin to pick up your sword and say to God, Lord, let's go. Let's do this thing. And He will give you courage. He will give you what you need to overcome. He will give you the land that He has promised you. God has given us promises, church. God has given us this city, church. God has given us this city. Who wants this city for God? Who wants this city for the Lord? You see, it's amazing because after a word like that, can you only imagine? Now God speaks to Joshua and he's ready to go. I mean, oh my word, only be strong and courageous and basically I will flatten the enemy. But in the mind of a man, it's so hard to understand. It's so hard for us to grasp. Is it really possible? Is it really possible, Lord? How is it that we will overcome? How is it that we can take the city? Listen, when I say that God has given the city to the church, it's for whoever wants it, guys. Whoever wants it. But there is a people at this moment that are rising up, whether it be in this church or any other church, that is saying, I want it. I believe it. The time has come. The time is now. Amen. But we are certainly not going to miss the bus. We are going to be a Joshua and a Caleb, and we are going to say, let's do this thing. Let's do it now. Let's take it now. Now watch this. Joshua 5, verse number 13. Now they're about to take their first major challenge, which is to take Jericho. And Joshua's getting ready. Joshua 5, verse 13. I'm almost done. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see, there comes a point as you approach what God has for you where you must realize that the only way that you will be able to overcome is when you get into that position where you say, Father, what do you say about these walls that I have to face? What do you say about this city, Lord? What do you say about this great city with these great walls, with this enemy that stands before me? What do you say, Lord? And in that moment, He will say to you, son, take off your shoes, take off your sandals, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. Because it's in that place where we say, Father, I recognize that I need you. I recognize that this battle doesn't belong to me, because you are the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. You are the one that leads and guides, and you are the one that I need. You are the one that I need, Lord. You are the one. You are the one, Lord. Oh, but Pastor Alex, the witches are not happy. They do not want you. See, there's something in you there's something in you that He has placed in you. It must come out. It must come up and rise up and be everything that it's called to be. It must rise up and fulfill destiny. And the enemy does not want you to grasp and take a hold of your destiny and your purpose, and will bring all kinds of obstacles in your way. But when you finally get to that place where you recognize who is on your side, you see, the reality is that Joshua didn't fight the battle because the army of the Lord was with him. Pastor, how do we fulfill destiny? Pastor, how do we inherit what God has for us? You can do it by saying, yes, Lord. It doesn't matter how broke I am. It doesn't matter how broken I am. It doesn't matter how lost I am. It doesn't matter what my past looks like. It doesn't matter what the challenge is in front of me. I hear destiny calling out to me. I hear the harvest crying out, the souls of the city crying out, those who are broken, those who are lost, those who are hurting. And there are thousands and thousands upon thousands of them, even in our city here in Vero Beach. And I hear the Lord say that they've tried to silence my voice. Even now they try to silence my voice, for they do not wish to hear what I say, says the Lord. They do not wish to hear what I say, for I'm calling my church in this hour. I'm calling my bride. I'm calling her. I'm calling her up. I'm calling her. I'm calling her to rise up in power and authority. For did I not say that in that hour they will prophesy? Did I not say that in that season, in that time, they would rise up in the power of my might? Did I not say that they would worship in spirit and in truth? Did I not say so, says the Lord. Now, says God, I am with you. I am the captain of the hosts. I am the leader of this army. I will lead you and I will guide you. And the Lord says, I will take out my mighty sword and I will destroy the works of the enemy, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. Only be strong and courageous, says the Lord. Only be strong and courageous, and you will overcome it, and you will rise up in this hour. Yes, you will. You will rise up and be all that you are called to be in Jesus' name. Now somebody get up and give the Lord a shout. Somebody shout like you believe it. Come on. Yeah. Nothing will be able to stop. Nothing will be able to stop what I am about to do on this planet, says the Lord. Nothing will be able to stop it. For I have been looking to and fro on this planet for those who long to worship me, those who long to seek after me with all of their heart. And I am finding them here, and I'm finding them there. And I'm finding them there, and I'm finding them here, and I will raise them up. Yes, I will. I will raise them up in this hour. I will raise them up. I see them. I see you. I see you. I see you becoming all that God has called you to be in this hour. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just dim the lights for me, guys, please. Thank you. This is your moment with God right now. Oh, Lord. Once I was lost, but now I am found. We can never be the same again. Your word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Be free now. Be free now. Be free now. Be free. Be made whole right now. In the name of Jesus the Christ. For this is the hour of visitation. This is the hour of visitation. This is the hour of visitation, says the Lord. Now go ahead and prepare yourself. And only be strong and courageous, and you will be everything that I've called you to be. And you will inherit the promises I have for you. And you will see a move of God, the likes of which this planet has never seen. And we will witness it. We will witness it here, and we will witness it all over the world as the Lord pours out His Spirit in the name of Jesus the Christ. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Father, we thank you this evening in this place for your presence and for what you have said to us tonight, Lord. For we know that it is not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, Father. Now let this word be branded in our hearts, O God, and let us never forget. Regardless of how difficult it looks, regardless of how challenging it is, that you are with us, the captain of the armies of the Lord. You are with us, you are leading us and guiding us, and you will take on anything that stands in our way, and we will be victorious because of you. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. I pray, Father, that even in this week, as we go our separate ways, that we will begin to feel, Lord, even in our heart of hearts, that things are beginning to change and there is an urgency in the Spirit. And we love you and thank you and praise you. There is none like you, Lord. Let us never, never look back, Father, but let us look to the future, the plans that you have for us. Father, we love you. We love you. I say it again, Father, we love you. And there is none like you. And we can do nothing without you. Now I pray, Father, that you will bless these precious people tonight, Father. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Strengthen and encourage them. And let them walk out of here with the yoke broken and lifted off them. Never the same again, Father. Never the same again. For your word has transformational. Your word takes us out of the pit, out of despair, out of desperation, and leads us and guides us into paths of righteousness. And so we thank you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place tonight. Go with the peace of God. You are blessed and you are favored, and things are about to change. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.